Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hello, fellow entrepreneurs. I am an entrepreneur just like you. I am in constant search of answers just like you. I can't help myself. I don't know what to do a lot of times, so I go searching. And because as an entrepreneur, I am constantly looking at new opportunities that come to me. And they could come to me while I'm driving down the road, and it's like, bam, I get hit in the head with it. That's a great idea. I'm going to do that. I'm going to open an Apple store. Well, it's not so easy. So I go and I start calling people that I know that know. That's kind of how I am. Like every day, I'm getting another great idea. So as we do this show, I am in search of lots of answers to questions that I have constantly that are hopefully the same kind of questions you guys have. So I don't really have much of a script. I have usually five questions that I've been given to ask these folks, sometimes by them, sometimes by my producers. Sometimes I'll watch a little something and I'll scratch down a couple of questions. But for the most part, we try and do 20, 30 minutes with each one of the guests and learn. And that's what Scott Gerber is going to do for us today. He is the CEO of Community Co. and co-author of Super Connector, Stop Networking and Start Building Business Relationships That Matter. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Alan. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, I am a relationship guy. I love people. I also sometimes love to hate people, but for the most part, I love people. And I love relationships. And I think that for the better part of my life, I have banked on relationships. My dad always called me a fisher of men. And because I felt like, in this lifetime, it's kind of who you know, but it's also what relationship you have with those people. So let's start out by you talking a little bit about Scott Gerber. Who is Scott Gerber?
Well, I started building communities for big brands and media companies about a decade ago. And it was really around the idea that I had a failed business. And when I failed, I took stock of why. And it was very clear. I didn't have anybody around me. No one of experience, no one of note. My mom was a teacher. My dad was a salesperson of carpeting and architecture for several years. I had no real network of advisors or people or just, frankly, other entrepreneurs in the trenches. And I realized that was such a huge miss. And I sort of made a promise to myself that I was never going to allow for failure as a result of not having really amazing people around me as a sounding board to create value for, just people that would help me get through good times and bad times and care either way. And basically took that and built a business around it. And today we have, thousands of people in our various communities of professionals and executives and entrepreneurs who every day create value for one another by helping one another answer challenges or find resources or create great content on thought leadership level to really just help inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs and help one another to become even more successful in business.
You know, I was thinking this morning about my kids. I have kids from 18 to 30. And I'm looking at my 18-year-old struggle. He's out of high school. He's taken some college classes and trying to learn some different things. And I thought, man, from the time you're about 16 to the time you're about 65 or 70, most people, they work. And I don't know that people really love what they do. They work because they have to have a paycheck because, they've got kids or they've got debt, they've got college debt or whatever it is, and they have to have that paycheck. But they've got themselves stuck in a position where they're not happy with what they do. I see that you authored another book, Never Get a Real Job.
Yep.
So you are the kind of guy that wants to help create entrepreneurs out of, well, everybody from the young to the young at heart, you might say. And I think that's a noble thing. But also I see here that you are founder of YEC, an invitation-only organization comprised of the world's most successful young entrepreneurs, as well as these two books you have. So, I mean, you're how old? 34?
34.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you're killing it.
Well, the day I believe that, it's funny, Alan, as an aside, what's been most exciting in my career, as much as it's wonderful to, build a great business, it has been about the amazing people I've met along the way. And, now sort of having a company where my main priority in life is to help literally thousands of professionals and executives every day, there's no greater honor because you get to learn so many amazing things and you get to create value in so many unique ways. And that to me is the true level of success, in my opinion, that myself and my partner have achieved. So and, looking forward to sharing how to do it.
Yeah, no. And you are a father of four children. So I can tell you right now, your plate is full. You also have to worry about that paycheck, even though you wrote the book, Never Get a Real Job. I take every single thing I'm doing seriously because everything I do is what I consider a job. And if I've been given that job to do, I'm going to do it beyond people's expectations. That to me is the best way to do it. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and find out how to create a community because Scott Gerber says community is the new customer service. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And our guest today, Scott Gerber. He is the CEO of Community Co., author of a couple books, founder of YEC, an invitation-only organization comprised of the world's most successful young entrepreneurs. I love that. You made a comment that's community is the new customer service. What did you mean by that?
You know, today brands and companies, they have to do much more than this idea of you have somebody buy a service, you have somebody buy a product, then you move on. Customers today want so much more. They want to belong. They want to feel the ethos of your brand. They want to be a part, in essence, be an owner in some ways of your brand, be an advocate of your brand. And today there are so many companies that are missing the boat to understand that fundamental principle that people are what make your company great, those that buy your products as well as the stakeholders that comprise it. And so today I believe fundamentally that every single brand needs to put real attention, not into vanity metrics or audience or just conversion rates and growth hacking, any other nonsense phrase of the day in the marketing world, but actually focus on the human element of bringing people together to get value beyond just, I bought your product. Well, is there a community to better use it or bring more value, or a community of people getting ideas for how best to use it or new ways to use it or new ways to improve it? But these kinds of things are going to be crucial to maintaining a long-term relationship with clients. And I see so many brands squandering that opportunity today.
You know, it's interesting. This morning, I actually went over to visit a client of mine that is, well, they rent from me. I have a shopping center with professional businesses in it, and they have a Apple repair shop. And I walked in the front door, and from the second I walked in the front door, I said, wow, there's not really a great customer experience walking in the front door. And, you know, then they came back from around the counter and I started talking with them, and I could see, I thought, man, I mean, the Apple business seems like it would be a great business because it's aged itself along the way. And the reason why I went in there, my wife happens to have a little older Apple computer that just stopped. And so I thought, well, I'll go talk to him. But I can't help myself. I was like analyzing stuff that they were doing and talking to them about their business. The next thing you know, I'm sitting in their back room with them having a discussion about advertising and this. And I thought to myself, so many people get caught with their blinders on, with their head down at their desk, working away. And I said, you guys need to do some sort of advertising, your signage. And they're like, well, you got to have money first. I said, well, yes, but maybe you need to do something about finding that money. Don't go out to dinner for a few weeks or months or whatever it is. Save your pennies, get a better sign. And it's like, you got to start somewhere. If things are not going well for you, you have to analyze everything you do, from the customer experience to your signage to how you are presented when somebody walks through the door. And I think that once you have some of these things down, you can start helping to build this community you're talking about, which is so important. When those people walk in, offer them a cup of coffee or whatever, you know?
It's so much simpler today because there are so many amazing tools out there that enable you to convene people together. You just have to make sure your humanity and your expertise shine through. So in the case of your example, you know, if you are most likely looking for local business
right.
in that situation. You know, looking for all of the tech geeks and the people that love hardware and IT, building a community, weekly meetups in your space, talking right. about the new tech product, going online and talking about the biggest fixes or new bugs you're finding. You know, there's just so many ideas for forums or gathering in the real world at your space. Just these ideas that you're bringing people, your stakeholders, your community, the other subject matter experts in your sphere. You can own that sphere.
I know.
Doesn't have to be a billion-dollar brand. You can own that community and be a part of that conversation.
We're talking with Scott Gerber, by the way. And before I even left the building, I was only there 30 minutes. I offered to buy half of their business. I got to tell you, I am like a sick entrepreneur. I can't stop myself. I will take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about his number one question, which is, how could I help you? And it may be the worst question ever. Scott Gerber's with us. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Don't forget, pick up an issue of Entrepreneur Magazine at newsstands most everywhere. Check our website out, entrepreneur.com. Watch videos, listen to this radio show and other podcasts. This is a national radio show on about 45 radio stations around the country, and then it goes to podcasts. So if you're just joining us, you're getting in your car and you're like, oh, cool, Entrepreneur has a radio show. You can always go and listen to many, many episodes at entrepreneur.com and just click, you know, for the podcast. And there's some great ones. Our editor-in-chief does two different podcasts, and we have just some great stuff there, entrepreneur.com. Scott Gerber's with us, and he has written a new book, Super Connector. Stop networking and start building business relationships that matter. And he says here, why how I can help you is the worst question ever. Why do you say that, Scott?
It's become this social script, right? It's become that icky networking style tactic. And I hate using that word, but it's so true. You know, when we talk in the book about how to become a world-class connector, we talk to literally dozens of the, you know, just best in the business of people that have just habitually generous, amazing folks that look about value creation and all said the same thing. You know, it's about having conversations with people and figuring out how you, the connector, can create value for them and being curious to get more and more context to help you do that. So nothing is worse than when you're having a conversation and all of a sudden at the end, it's like, oh, how can I help you? It seems like you haven't listened for the last 5 minutes or you haven't done your job to actually figure out where you could be helpful and actually say, here's the help I can provide. Or have you thought of this? Or I know these people. It's lazy. And it's just a big example of the kind of question that puts too much work, frankly, on the person you're talking to, that makes the case that, oh, this person needs help. And third, and most importantly, just is very not genuine. It feels that icky networking sense that we're trying to get away from and trying to actually build these human relationships.
Right. So the answer to that is listen. Don't just look at the person like they're a cow and you want to milk them. Listen to the human person in front of you. Create a real relationship. Give a damn about that person standing in front of you.
And not only that, but as you're, you know, really learning, be curious, be empathetic, understand that when you're talking to people, they're not naturally going to be able to talk about themselves. Even extroverts have sometimes issues going beyond surface level. And so if you could be sort of the Sherlock Holmes of discourse, if you will, you're going to extract really valuable context from them. So an example would be of a great question, you know, hey, so if we talk again in a year from now, you know, what's your idea of what success is going to look like on XYZ that you're working on? Or what are you working on right now that is really exciting you to wake up in the morning. Mm. Things that help people naturally have this pulling of context out of someone, and not in a Machiavellian way, obviously, but in a way that's truly meant to help them help you to solve the puzzle.
All right. Help me to help you. Give a damn. Be Sherlock Holmes. And you know, at the end of the day, I know that the people are listening to this show, this rings true inside of their hearts and their minds, because we've all experienced somebody that goes, can I help you?
Exactly. Or the networker, right? Or my personal favorite, the guy you meet at the conference that's talking about himself while shaking your hand with the business card in the other and looking over your shoulder to see who else is in the room that he has to meet. That very out for oneself transactional networker.
Right.
And that's not the way to succeed in building community and building a network around you. It's about being a habitual giver. It's about being really valuable to others. And like you said, it's about giving a damn. Listen, hear that great context to know where you can play a role in the sphere of influence of people around you. And you're going to see just such an incredible group of people surround you that you can create value for, that one day, even though you shouldn't be looking for it, will likely create value for you too.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting? I have always been a super connector. I can see that it's very simple that you are too. And that's why you wrote the book. And it's out. Can it be bought at stores everywhere? Is it online? Where do we buy it?
Anywhere books are sold, or okay. Check out superconnectorbook.com.
There you go. And scottdgerber.com. Also scottdgerber.com, G-E-R-B-E-R. I have always been a super connector, but I've actually had friends tell me, you got to quit giving yourself away. And I know that, you know, it does start with a bit of giving yourself away. It's like paying it forward, creating relationships, opening doors for others. Because guess what? I've heard this saying, and I'm sure you have too. If you help other people achieve their dreams, they will also help you achieve yours.
That's right. And the reality is this. If you can just be someone who is trying to help others, but in a very meaningful way, like I said, not tips, not tactics, just mindset and framework. If that's how you're built, or how you rebuild yourself, your personal and professional relationships become so much more powerful. Because when you know someone on the surface level, it's like, oh, hey, I need help. Can you help me with XYZ? Very, very small likelihood that that's going to lead to a high level of success, right? But if you are very much someone who cares deeply about everyone and spends the right amount of time and invests in the long term, that is noticed. That is meaningful to the other side. And the fact that when you're going to need help, there will be people lining up because you've actually cared. That's the difference.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the secrets of becoming a super connector. And also, I want to ask you about, what do you say to those who tell you you shouldn't give yourself away, like my friends that have done to me? Maybe they don't understand. So we're talking about this new book out, Super Connector, Stop Networking and Start Building Business Relationships That Matter, here on Entrepreneur Weekly. Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere. We'll be right back. It is Entrepreneur Weekly.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Scott Gerber with us. Scott D as in dog, D as in Doug, D as in D. Scott D.
Let's go,
Gerber.
David. Like my real middle name.
I was waiting for you to jump in there and tell me what it was. ScottDGerber.com. If you want to find him. Oh, my gosh. Listen, congratulations. You've had some tremendous success. I mean, I went to your website, scottdgerber.com, and you've been on like every kind of news organization that is out there, I believe, including Entrepreneur, for years. So congrats.
I appreciate that. When you have a message that resonates and people actually care, there you go.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right. Let's talk about some secrets to this super connector thing that you and I seem to share. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs have it. I do believe it starts with being a little bit selfish and a little bit unselfish, because entrepreneurs typically, you know, I mean, listen, we're doing this because we want a better life. Is that called selfish? I don't think so. I think that's just human, right?
But I'd go with selective.
Okay. But also, you have to be a little unselfish. You have to want that for others as well. And I had a friend, I did a radio show 25 years ago with a guy, and one day he says, I'm sick and tired of giving away my information for free. And I thought to myself, wow, well, that's kind of what we do on this show. You know what I mean? And I thought, you know, is that's the wrong attitude, because automatically he's looking at everyone like they are a thief trying to steal his in, and that is the wrong mindset. So how do we, you know, what are some of the secrets of becoming super connectors like you are, Scott Gerber?
Well, first you have to audit yourself to see what you are in actuality, not in surface level branding, if you will. And so this is the test I tell everyone, and most people fail it, and you have to be honest with yourself. Now I want you to listen to yourself internally in the next five random conversations you have in a business setting, and immediately see, does your brain jump to thinking about other questions to ask the person to figure out how to make the conversation more robust and more that you can find a direct path to value creation for the other person? Or does it go to, I don't think this person is going to be valuable for me, I want to end this conversation.
Right.
And if you're the latter, again, you don't have to tell anybody the results, but I'm asking you to be honest with yourself, right, to know where you start.
Right.
And so once you figure out, is that the case, then you have to say, do I want to have a mindset shift? Because again, keep in mind, this is not, whether it's the book or anything else that you read about from other connectors in the space, this is not a 5-minute, you know, fit abs type program. There is no secret button. There's no magic formula. There's no technology. This is a fundamental mindset change to be someone who thinks a certain way and carries themselves a certain way, to live a certain way. So you can't go half baked here. You can't go half born. You got to go full force. So once you figure out who you are, then it's, you know, figuring out to yourself, okay, am I self-aware? Do I understand how others perceive me? And do I know how I, you know, my strengths and weaknesses myself? Most people can't be very self-aware, or they're very good at being self-aware about themselves, but horrible at being self-aware of how others perceive them, right? Usually this is like a type A thing where you think, man, I am the king of the party here, and everybody thinks you're the arrogant SOB. And so you have to figure out where you fit, and, you know, in the minds of others and yourself. Are you emotionally intelligent? Do you actually care about people? I mean, it's very hard to be a connector if you don't care about people, if you're not empathetic. Big problems, small problems, whatever someone's talking to you about, can you find a way to be curious and care? Can you go deep with them? Do you have to make it about you? But these are the kinds of things that are going to help you to figure out, where do you fit? So that's self-awareness, that emotional intelligence, those simple tests to just see where you fit is the starting point.
Wow. Okay. So I've been accused of being that arrogant SOB.
It's a type A thing, man. I've been there myself. And right. You know what? And the best trick to fix that, by the way, is you do what I did, which is get a partner who's a hardcore introvert. Because introverts are actually, in my opinion, some of the best connectors in the world. They use it to such an advantage because they're almost seen by the extrovert class as the second, you know, class citizens, when the reality is most introverts are much more methodical, much better listeners, much better at pulling the context out of conversation or setting themselves up for success with social capital in smaller, more intimate settings than extroverts could ever be. And so by partnering with someone who was my fundamental opposite but shared my ethos, my passion, and my vision, it was a game changer of understanding at a whole new level the self-awareness game. Because I could trust what he was saying. It wasn't critiques like, you know, online trolls, right? It was someone who I deeply cared about and I deeply appreciated and could understand the rationale of, because we shared so many other things in common.
How do you have that paradigm shift once you have listened to yourself, you have become self-aware, and you realize you're that arrogant SOB, even though you may be a brilliant, arrogant SOB, you do need to have that paradigm shift. How do you come to that place inside of your heart and mind and soul that you need to be a better listener, a better person? You know, what brings you to that? And maybe your book, Super Connector, can help with that. But what do you think? Just me asking you that question.
Yeah, I mean, Alan, to be quite honest, some people are not going to do it because they can't. They don't have it in them. And I would advise those kinds of people, you know, take a deep breath and realize that, you know, this is a game changer. It's not just for your professional life either, by the way. It makes your personal relationships much better too.
Yeah.
The reality is that I had that come to, my senses moment a decade plus ago. I was in a business where I was allowing my ego to make every decision and wasn't allowing myself to really think, deeply and more intellectually, because I was afraid of, frankly, things that today we'd call the vanity ego or the personal branding, the thought leadership platform, all the nonsense that only really matters to you because people see right through it if it's not authentic and if you're not a good person. And so the reality is that you either get it or you don't. There is no, tip here I can tell you other than go to a couple people that are fundamentally your opposite and have a real conversation. People that you trust that are going to shoot you straight in small intimate settings that's not widely publicized, and let them have at it. Because I will guarantee you, if you can give yourself a rude awakening, if you can make yourself fundamentally understand that if your heart's in the right place, now you just have to adjust the attitude to go with it, you're going to see results. And again, results don't have to be KPI driven. They could just be results that people see in a better light.
Whew. That was some good shiznit, man. I can say that. That's not what people think. That's a made up word. But you get the point. We'll take a break. Scott Gerber's joining us. His book, Super Connector. We've got one on the line here. Check out entrepreneur.com. And I'm going to take a break, and we're going to continue on with Scott. Be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, all I can say is that we often need a good slap in the face, kind of a wake-up call. And who are you going to get that from? Really? Your wife or your husband? Oh, no, that's called abuse. But from a really good friend that will give you a dose of truth, a dose of, self-awareness. Because I think a lot of us have become these arrogant SOBs Scott Gerber's talking about, and we think we know it all. We think that, we've got a little success. We drive the cars of our dreams, have the homes of our dreams, have the cute little kids and all the, the things that we dreamt about. But the reality is, are we really, really happy? And I think that if we could hear ourselves when we're talking, my father's 90 years old and my mom's 87. And so I've been studying my father's life all through. He's written like 20 books, and I'm studying all this. And of course, when we open our mouths and say things like this, people listen, and then they measure us by our own words. So, Scott, you are married. You have 4 children. Does your wife believe that you are the super connector, or do you have to argue with her constantly, or is she your best sounding board? Give me 2 minutes on wife and family.
Yeah, I mean, like everything else, the proof is in the pudding. If if you believe in and wholeheartedly go by the way in which you think about your life and you run your life, and you can't cheat your family, you can't lie to your family, they'll call you out right away.
Boy, won't they? Yes.
And no, I mean, my wife and I are true partners, and my greatest goal in life is not financial return. It's not building a big business, but thankfully, both of those have happened. No, it's the ability for one day my kids to look back and believe that I've raised them ethically and morally sound, and more importantly, that they could, if they chose, follow a path not in my shadow, but on their own 2 legs based on the learnings and methodologies and framework I've set them up for.
Beautifully said.
I believe in this world, while I would love for them to all be entrepreneurs, and I hope they will, they'll be prepared to be entrepreneurs one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a beautiful thing. I want the same exact thing. So I love your philosophy about this. Speaking of spirituality and philosophy, do you follow anything particular? I mean, do you have a guru, basic Christianity, Judaism, whatever it may be? How much does your religion or your spiritual nature back up the foundation of the beliefs of Scott Gerber? I'm just curious.
That's the first time I've ever been asked that question.
Yeah.
That's a first. It's interesting. I believe fundamentally that beyond religion or any specific kind of framework of thought, that an individual has to be okay with waking up in the morning, going to sleep at night, and feeling good as a human.
Mm-hmm.
My background is that of, you know, Judaism. I believe very much fully in the heritage and family traditions of what Judaism in my family was to me, which I think has imparted this idea of a close family unit, but also close associations and relationships. And so I do think that that idea of wanting to bring people together, having been brought up Jewish, but having many friends who were Italian, where Sunday dinners were the big thing, you know, it's bringing people together to talk family, whether it's politics or business or life. But these idea of spirited conversations in intimate settings, I think, is something that stuck with me since, you know, before I can remember when I was young.
No, it's good because we all have our beginnings, if you know what I'm saying. My father is from London, and I know you're going to love this, and Jewish heritage. My mother is from Alabama and, you know, Christian, you know, so it's like, wow. I always tell my friends, and you're from New York, that makes me George Costanza because I don't know what I am. You know, I'm a mutt. And so I had to find my own way. But of course, I think along the path of life, again, I'll make it about me for a moment because I'm notorious for doing that. I've had to make some decisions about religion being spiritual. And like all of us, we look at all the, you know, Buddha and, you know, look at every kind of religion is out there. And many of them have good things that kind of are like, I guess, grains of sand in the hourglass of our life. Each one of those small beliefs, even if I read Superconnector, your book, and pick up on a belief that you know, instill in me because I agree with it, I think that's part of the spiritual nature of who we are in business. Because to me, you know, people look at me and they go, what kind of a man is this? Or in a woman's case, what kind of a woman is she? How honorable and honest are they with their family members? And all that all matters, because after you get past the surface of a relationship, people start scratching a little deeper into things. And then you'll find, you know, a lot of these people that are, you know, big, what I call bloviators, big talkers, you know, the big, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, and I watch them and I go, well, what's their family? How many times they've been married and how many times did it take them to learn that lesson? Personally, I've been married 31 going on 32 years. And like you, I have four kids and I got a few extras along the way from other people that just dropped them off with us. So, you know, I think all of these things are what make me fall in love with somebody or rise to love, I guess I could say, and in business. And then I want to do more business. I want to connect with them because guess what? Birds of a feather flock together. And you, there's an old saying, you become the collective soul of the five people you spend the most time with, if you know what I mean. So putting yep. yourself around the
Absolutely.
Right people. All right. So last question, and we have one more segment, is how to run an event like a Super Connector. Because a lot of people, you know, when you talk about connecting with people, they put on events to talk about their businesses or to talk about their services. You're probably one of them. I'm going to take a little break. We'll come back and we'll talk about, for those who want to run an event like a Super Connector, Scott Gerber is going to talk to us. Again, you can find him at his website, Scott D, as in David, scottdgerber.com. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, just like Entrepreneur Media, the magazine, the brand. It's out there, entrepreneur.com. We'll be right back.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, he has been featured in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, Bloomberg Times, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, Reuters, National, all over the place. And now he's on Entrepreneur, Scott Gerber. Again, scottdgerber.com, his book, his new book, Super Connector. He also has another book, Never Get a Real Job. It is now time for us to talk about, for those who wish to become Super Connectors, how to run an event like a Super Connector. And then I'm going to ask you for final thoughts. So what is the best way to run an event like a Super Connector?
Well, first and foremost, It's about the selectivity and the curation of who's there. I think we try to get as many prospects in a room or people in a room as we can to, you know, fuel our own agenda. And then we forget there's one small problem with that. People value their time. Right. And so we make it about us, but forget all about them. Right. So the first thing is, you know, we always look at bringing the right people together methodically. Why should person A, B, and C get in the same table? Because you know what? That makes sense. Then we extract context, like we were talking about earlier. But this time it's, you know, maybe tell us a challenge that's going on in your business. Maybe tell us a couple of wins you've had recently. Give us more than just the CV on LinkedIn. Then we share that data with all the participants. So your job as a connector is pretty clear. It's to remove as much friction from the relationship building process as possible. So when you all of a sudden get 10 people in a room, those 10 people are prepped. They know who's attending. They know stuff they can't find online. They have been potentially, if you're a really good connector, they've been sat in a specific seating order if it's a seated event based on who they should meet. They've been put in an environment that is intimate, that is very, very supportive of conversation, not like loud music, not disgusting food that you're going to be like diving in on. But these kinds of environmental things, they all matter. Everything matters. Most importantly, you as the curator are going to have additional insights, things that you can bring up in conversations to keep the conversation flowing by also removing yourself. So finding those tidbits that you can help to steer those conversations if they're going off track, because you should in theory know more than everyone else about anyone else in the room. And then in the end, you're going to be making sure people follow up, actually making sure people that should have connected did. For those that couldn't attend, try to bring them back into the fold and say, sorry, you missed the event. I'd love to make connections for you with two or three people I thought you should have met. Is that okay? Get that double opt-in. But the reality is when you look at creating events, don't treat them like promotional grab bag giveaways. Don't treat them like stage shows for your product or service. Bring the humanity back to the real estate, right? Show your best self. And bring people that will naturally put you at the center of influence so you don't have to talk about yourself, because people will be so wowed with the value and selectivity and curation and the meaningful conversation that they'll be your best advocate. You'll never have to speak to what you actually do. And you could do this tactic in a variety of different ways. My personal favorite, when we do events at major conferences, we never actually attend the conference. We pull people to a safe space, this oasis, if you will, the 15 or 20 people that we've done real research on to bring together in this smaller, intimate environment. So now you have 1,000 people that were in that room. We just brought 15 that should know each other. Often that kind of event is the most powerful event they're going to go to all weekend.
That's cool.
And we do this methodically. So be the center of influence by curating the right people, maintaining strong conversation, doing the research and homework, and making sure that you can be that person who's in between all of the relationships. And you're going to be able to throw one heck of an event.
Well, I think you wrapped it up pretty nicely. So I'm going to just say, here's what I take away from this. First of all, in order to be a super connector, you have to listen. And you have to be a lot like Sherlock Holmes, and you have to find, even if they're not telling you what the answer is to their problem, you need to find it on your own because you care. So that to me is a huge thing for any kind of a salesperson, or if you're trying to sell anything, is to give a damn. The next do is be self-aware and listen to yourself. Don't be arrogant, because so many of us are arrogant. We don't hear ourselves. We're not self-aware. And at the end of the day, that's a deal killer all by itself. And most importantly, I think, have an honest heart. Because without that, it's all just a game. And there's really no great end to that game if you don't have an honest heart. Scott Gerber, great job. Super Connector, stop networking and start building business relationships that matter. Find him at scottdgerber.com. You'll also find this podcast for our radio stations. If you just joined us right here at the end of the show, the whole entire radio show will be podcast in a couple of days at entrepreneur.com. And we hope that you will join us at that location and find many other great dudes just like Scott. Scott, thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm Alan Taylor. There is a whole bunch more over at entrepreneur.com. We'll see you there. See you next time.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.